5% in 2014 woke Cuomo up because he wants to run for president. He wanted to get more votes than his daddy, and he didn't. And so he had to look and say, who are these votes and what do I got to do to get them? He has to compete for progressive votes.
Notes from the Left Forum 2018. The New York City conference held at John Jay College in June looked at new strategies for the left in an effort to expand the common ground among movements. In this program, we hear from a panel on the Green New Deal and ecological socialism. It was presented by the Green Party of New York State. First, we go to Jabari Brisport, former Green Party City Council candidate from Brooklyn. Then the party's candidate for New York State Governor, Howie Hawkins, and on to its nominee for New York State Comptroller, Mark Dunley. But we begin with Jabari Brisport. He says he got his foray into socialism recently, about 2 years ago, during the 2016 election. Jabari Brisport.
You know, who knew I would, you know, realize I was a socialist and run as a socialist a year later. But I got my intro to socialism when I was where I had my best political thoughts, which is in the shower. And I remember I was in 2016 thinking that black people were brought here as capital, basically. And that's an interesting foray into it because I think people on the far left and socialists often get like pigeonholed as being like, I want to say like economic reductionists, like not caring about identity politics and the way that capitalism influences racism and sexism and classism and nationalism, all those things. But, you know, my foray into socialism was via racism and thinking black people were brought here as capital, and sharecropping is a form of capitalism, the way we put a price tag on people and the way you shouldn't put a price tag on it, and that redlining and the keeping of black people out of certain neighborhoods came out of capitalism and, you know, for-profit policing that we have now and for-profit prisons now and the prison labor. This is all capitalism and thinking that, you know, there would be no black liberation under the system that literally brought us here as slaves. So I would need to be a socialist. That's where the liberation can come from. And just thinking about this panel specifically and, like, environmental racism and like why it's important to have like an eco-socialist movement, because, you know, theoretically you could nationalize an oil pipeline company and have it be a democratically run oil pipeline company and pump out tons of oil and be socialist in a way. But no, it needs to be ecological because, you know, some of the, you know, we're all being harmed by climate change, and some people being harmed the worst are people of color. So I think about Flint needing its pipes be fixed. It's been forever, and it's just lead in the pipes, and like that's a crisis of that's environmental racism. It's their water that they drink that's poisoned. And I think about, you know, where when we use nuclear energy and we think about where the waste goes, and it goes to, you know, these like quote-unquote barren regions, which are often near indigenous lands or in indigenous lands. I mean, we're harming people of color. I think about like waste, agricultural waste from the, like, industrialized animal agriculture, and like I'm sorry to people that are eating in this room, but like if you like the poop ponds, for like lack of a better terms, like, you know, the runoff from these industrial animal agriculture industries that just, like, you know, they have these all the animal waste, and like they'll spray it as fertilizer over fields and then just wafts like poop mist into marginalized communities. And I think about asthma rates, which are higher in black communities and then Hispanic communities. And, you know, when I was looking at CDC data, it's apparently very high in the Puerto Rican community specifically. I didn't find out data why, but I found that interesting. And even just talking about Puerto Rico, I mean, some of the hardest hit regions right now by climate change hurricanes are minority small islands in the Caribbean. In the Western Hemisphere, you know, it's majority-minority islands in the Caribbean, and we think about Puerto Rico, and we think about, like, why there's been so little help to go there, and we think about if there would be more help to help this island if it were an island of wealthy white people living there versus the people that are there now. And I do think that this is, you know, environmental racism is a huge issue in communities of color. And that's important for me to bring up, too, just because I think that on the left, oftentimes people hear, like, communities of color, and they like, they find like the more like the, I want to say like the sexier issues. Like you hear, like you, like, you know, think about like what the black issues are, and people automatically go towards police violence. Like that's the thing the black people care about. It's about the police, and like that is an issue. But like coming from my campaign, like some of the things that really like people were really craving, one, people wanted more green spaces, right? I mean, police came up, but people wanted more green spaces. People wanted something more for kids to do in the neighborhood. And people, like, wanted jobs, right? They wanted better jobs. And these are not, like, the sexy issues. It's not murder, right? But these are things that are very important to, like, communities of color. And I want to tie this into the Green New Deal, because when we talk about jobs, I mean, there's jobs right there, just building clean energy. And, you know, a big part of the Green Party was a jobs guarantee, you know, which I think is a socialist endeavor. Like, you know, if you want a job, the government should be able to provide you a job. There's work that needs to be done. We need more teachers. We need more infrastructure to be built. We need more this. We need more that. It's work to be done, but the jobs aren't there. Just capitalism, because it's not profitable. So capitalism hasn't linked them together. So I thought you know, this, the Green New Deal is a great way to do that. And I know we already have a job. We already have a jobs guarantee. I call it the military. Like, if you wanna get a job, you can join the military in some capacity. And the government already does that. So why not bring that guarantee to other sectors, especially one that's more ethical and one that, like, heals our planet for decades to come. So I'm gonna stop there. But basically, I do think, you know, environmental justice is very important. It's tied to socialism, and I'm very excited that the Green Party is fighting for this, and I hope to see it build. Thank you.
Activists with the Democrat Socialists of America and the Kings County Green Party, Jabari Brisport. And you're listening to Notes from the Left Forum 2018. Up next, Howie Hawkins. He's a recently retired Teamster and the Green Party candidate for New York State Governor. He's seeking the office on behalf of the Green New Deal. It's his third try for New York State Governor. He says he's not trying to reach those people who think the Democratic Party is a New Deal Democratic Party, but rural Republicans who just want to go to work, have their farms or their small businesses, and have a fair shot. He says if we revitalize the public sector, we're going to lower the cost of living and the cost of doing business for small businesses across the board. And he says the person who thinks they're conservative is going to like the economic program. He talks about the logic behind the Green New Deal. Howie Hawkins.
We're talking about public housing. Rent control is not enough. We need it. I mean, the landlords in this city, your progressives here, Mayor de Blasio, I spent the week fasting with those hunger strikers from 85 Bowery. And it wasn't de Blasio that gave in, it was the landlord, who was just tired of the bad publicity. De Blasio was trying to shunt them off into public housing to the last minute, saying, we'll put you at the front of the line, just go up to the Bronx with all your paperwork. And these folks were tight, and they fought now for 6 months, and they won a victory, and more power to them, because when they got the victory, they didn't say, oh, thank you, kind sir. They said, all right, we deserve our house, you know, our rent-stabilized apartments. It shouldn't have been converted to luxury apartments. But you're wrecking the whole neighborhood with your top-down zoning plan. So we want community rezoning. Here's our plan. And they're going to keep struggling. That's the kind of, you know, fight we need beside, you know, running in office. We need people organized and, you know, together like those tenants were and are. So public housing, we need a new kind of public housing, not segregated, isolated, poor people housing that's isolated from the rest of the community, isolated from jobs and opportunities, employment, education, transportation. We need mixed income to desegregate. It needs to be humanly scaled, scatter site, suburbs as well as cities, high quality so everybody wants it, and green. These things should be producing more power than they're consuming and feeding it into the grid. And this will be not just a clean energy program, or I mean a public housing, affordable housing program. It'll be a program for clean energy, desegregation, and New York is more segregated than Mississippi in our housing and schools, so we got a real issue there. And it'll be a jobs program, because construction jobs, you know, we'll have conditions on there. There'll be prevailing wages. There'll be good jobs. So public health care. We got a New York Health Act that'll lower the cost of health care for 98% of us, providing all medically necessary services to all New Yorkers. We're going to be lobbying for that Tuesday up in Albany. It's passed the Assembly. Did it pass the third time this? Yeah, they passed it recently, third time in a row. We're one vote short in the state Senate. We're very close to that. That will lower the biggest driver of business budgets, as well as household budgets right now, is the rising cost of health care. So if you're a smart business person, you should be for single-payer health care. Public energy, as a general rule, publicly owned energy systems provide the power and the gas at 15% less than investor-owned utilities, or IOUs, as I like to call them. And we got national greed. That's what we call national grid upstate, or just the greed. Everybody knows when you say, did you get your greed bill yet? Man, wasn't it bad? And you got Con Ed down here. If they are publicly owned, along with the fuel providers, Exxon and so forth, then as we make the transition to clean energy, the earnings from the fossil fuels we're using during the transition through a public energy system can be reinvested in renewables. Exxon's going to reinvest it in oil, and the gas companies in gas. And they have totally blown the situation. We're on the brink of climate catastrophe. They just got to, it's got to be taken away from them. Public broadband. We got basically two oligopoly or, you know, monopolistic companies, Verizon and Spectrum, and they're jacking up the rates. The service sucks. Even the state attorney general sued Spectrum for not delivering the service they provided. I can give you a case study on Verizon, you know, billing us, and they couldn't deliver the service. And then we tried to exit, and they tried to hit us up for a $600 exit fee. You know, I never saw that in the contract. They couldn't even provide the contract, but they billed me. So, you know, if we have public broadband, we can close the digital divide, lower the cost, provide better service. That's something businesses as well as households need. Public bank, we can lower the cost of credit because we're just trying to sustain it like the Bank of North Dakota has for 100 years, financing farms, small business, student loans, home mortgages, and made a little money for the state for 100 years. That's a very Republican state, and those Republicans love their socialist bank. It works. And you can finance infrastructure for about half the cost of going through Wall Street and paying the interest in their fees. I didn't mention transportation. We need, just to get the MTA really fixed up so the stations, the rail cars, the signals, and the tracks are where they ought to be. The Regional Plan Association has an estimate of over $100 billion. The new guy at the MTA just came out with a $39 billion 10-year plan to do some of that. But we need more than that to get the outer boroughs that are underserved more integrated into the system, and we need more than that to get the upstate public transportation system. So there's a lot of work to be done there. NYCHA needs $25 billion just to get the mold out and the lead paint out and the roofs fixed and the boilers working. And instead of boilers, we should be doing ground source heat pumps so it's clean energy, not, you know, gas or oil. So all these things will lower the cost of living and doing business, and it's something that I think appeals not just to those progressives who are, you know, have that New Deal mentality and want to get back to that, but also to anybody that's looking at their household budget or their business budget or their farm budget. And I will put that program up against the right wing's quote-unquote improved business climate program, which means they always focus on income taxes and they want to lower the top brackets. And, you know, that won't do much for most of us in terms of our household and business budgets. And they say also about how to finance the MTA, they said do congestion pricing, but don't tax the rich because the rich are going to move. But we got good academic studies that say that's not true. Stanford did one last year, very detailed, the most comprehensive ever. And the rich don't move because in the states where they live is where they're making all their money. And they got a house and they got family, they got friends. You know, they don't move for that reason. There are a few high-profile cases, Tom Golisano, but he lives in Florida to get away from the taxes, but what is he doing? He's fighting his property taxes here in New York. You know, I mean, give me a break. And, you know, Rush Limbaugh is, you know, bellowing on talk radio, but, you know, most people, he can do the radio show from anywhere. Most people that got businesses are actually doing something like he doesn't do. So that's just not an issue. So the last piece is, okay, what does this have to do with ecological socialism? Well, we're expanding the socialized sector, the democratic economic sector, by having these things providing through public provision goods and services that are most efficiently provided through the public sector. And that actually revitalizes the private sector, too. And the reason it goes towards socialism is, and this comes to the slogan we're using in our campaign this year, demand more. Now, Samuel Gompers used to say, you know, what does the labor movement want? He'd just say more, you know, and he could interpret that to mean more stuff. But we mean three things by it. One is demand more, first of all, from the government. As Ralph Nader says, we need to raise our expectations. We got a bunch of crooks running government. They're in trial right now, and it's probably only the tip of the iceberg. And it goes right down the hall from Governor Cuomo. And so clean government, that's raise our expectations. Secondly, we want to win more reforms. Our 5% in 2014 woke Cuomo up because he wants to run for president. He wanted to get more votes than his daddy, and he didn't. And so he had to look and say, who are these votes and what do I got to do to get them? He has to compete for progressive votes. So we got the fracking ban. We got moving toward the $15 minimum wage. We got the millionaire's tax extended. We got paid family leave. We got movement toward tuition-free college. We got movement on criminal justice reforms. I got a list of 19 things where Cuomo used to be opposed, and now he's done something, or at least is talking about doing something. So that 5% leverage reform. So that's the second thing. We want to leverage some more reforms out of this campaign. But the third thing is we want more than piecemeal reforms. We need system change. We need to get beyond capitalism because capitalism is killing us. It's got two fundamental problems. One is it's a system of blind, relentless growth because of competition. If you don't grow, you're going to die in the competition. That creates a dynamic that is consuming the environment and destroying the basis of life for human beings, civilization. So we need to get to a sustainable economy that's in balance with nature, and you can only do that by having economic democracy, planning of the big decisions, and getting to a situation where people, the consumerist kind of mentality isn't the way people compensate for how bad they feel when they go to work and be told what to do and, you know, all the advertising they're getting, because their economic material needs are met. And then it becomes, you know, how do you improve your life? It's not by getting more stuff. So that's one problem. The other is poverty kills. And capitalism increases inequality, makes the rich richer. More and more of us are struggling to make ends meet. You may remember the AP survey that was published in the cover of USA Today a few years ago, where they did a survey and found that, I think it was 80% of Americans will be unemployed, receiving public assistance, or living below 50% of the poverty line, which is the real poverty line, in the course of their lives. So these things are not just for the disadvantaged, quote unquote. These are things that all of us need. These economic human rights, if they're not secure for some of us, or a subgroup of us, they're not secure for all of us. And we don't have time to like go through the process at this point. We got to start telling people directly, we got to have system change, and we got to have it soon.
New York State gubernatorial candidate for the Green Party, Howie Hawkins. And you're listening to Notes from the Left Forum 2018 over listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, WBAI in New York. Next up is Mark Dunley. He's running on the Green Party ticket for New York State Comptroller. He talks about green energy, a mass employment program, as well as climate catastrophe. He says we're not seeing innovation as we could here in New York State. Mark Dunley.
The only thing the government talks about primarily is electricity. Okay. Now, electricity is the easiest thing to go to zero emission. But it represents only about 23-24% of the state's carbon footprint. And the two big ones are transportation and heating and cooling buildings, each of which are about 35-40%. And then you throw in, which no one ever talks about in New York State, you know, depends how you count, you know, maybe another 10% from agriculture. So we only focus on a very, very small part of the carbon footprint, and we do very, very, very little. And, of course, the governor, you know, is a Wall Street governor. So he very clearly says, well, I hate this subsidy stuff. He's given, I think last year, 97% of the money we've collected through the rate base, allegedly to subsidize clean energy, went to bail out three upstate nuclear power plants. 97%.
Four.
Well, there's three plants, there's four reactors. And so only 3% went to renewable energy. You know, that's, you know, atrocious. He did a press conference or news release saying, I'm giving $250 million to electric car infrastructure in New York State. That's wonderful. You're giving $250 million, I think it's by 2025. Jerry Brown just gave $2.5 billion, and you're giving $250 million. You know, and he puts out press releases, I've increased solar in New York State by 1,000%. Really? You increased it by 1,000%, and we get 1.07% of our electricity by solar. That doesn't seem, you know, too well. California just passed a law that's going to require every new building, I think, at least every new home, I'm not sure it's every new building, but by 2020, every new building in California has to have solar. I mean, I don't think actually solar is always the answer. It could be geothermal, but you know, those are the type of innovative things that we need to see. We're not seeing that, you know, here in New York State. And then on the buildings, you know, yes, we should require that every new building built in this state be carbon free. I don't know why that's even an issue. It's relatively easy to do at this point. The technology exists, and we need to move from, you know, propane and gas and oil to, you know, geothermal, heat pumps. You know, the technology already exists. When what's his name, Jacobson, did the study, this wasn't based on new technology. This was based on taking it off the shelf. And then, of course, you had the whole issue of job creation. I think he said up to 4 to 5 million new jobs would be created. Now, some of those jobs only last for a year, some last for 3 years, some last for 6 years. So if you look at what's called 40-year jobs, you know, so if you have a 3-year job, 5-year job, a 10-year job, 20-year job, that's one 40-year job. Still about 300,000 jobs would be created. So it really is a full employment program, and then all the health benefits and stuff like that. So we can talk a lot about that, how we got to move to transit, and, you know, Norway now does, you know, all new cars have to be electric by 2025. We can move on that scale. But, you know, on the socialist aspect of it, I mean, even the Pope says we're not going to solve climate change until we basically get rid of the abuses of capitalism. I mean, the Pope gets it. You know, why doesn't, you know, the average, you know, American, he said, and the mentality allows us to oppress the poor and exploit the environment is the same mentality that, you know, drives the, you know, capitalist system. We need, you know, one of the things about the Green New Deal is based on the concept of sustainability. There's massive overproduction. We create things. You know, the idea that these smartphones last 3 years and you got to throw them out, I mean, that's completely wasteful. The amount of plastic we use, we got to ban, I think, all plastic, but at least certainly, you know, single-use plastic. So you need a much more fundamental restructuring. Now, where does socialism come into it? Once again, we're going through a transformational moment. We are changing how we provide power, electric power, energy power in this country. Who is going to own it? And this is the moment to go to, you know, public ownership. I was meeting recently with the new head of NYSERDA, New York State Energy Resource and Development Association. And one of the things she pointed out, which is true, was that the problem is you can't cite large-scale renewable projects in New York State. They're all opposed by NIMBYs. Every place in New York State, you basically have to have a 10-year fight in order to get something cited. We're, you know, if, in fact, we're going to hit 1.5 degrees in 3 years, which is what a lot of people think, we can't be waiting 10 years to do this. So she asked me, what can I do as a, you know, representative of the climate change movement to help with the siting issue? And I said, well, you know, in Germany, the transition to renewable energy has been driven by the municipal power systems. And one of the advantages of that, besides, you know, public power is a great idea, is that the community is much more supportive when it's a public power program. One, they view it as a public benefit. It's one of the arguments I have with Richard Kaufman, who's the energy czar in New York State, because he's the guy who wants to, let's line up the market to solve climate change. And I said, Richard, the market created climate change. Why would you expect that the market's ever going to solve the problem of climate change? And he was arguing, well, Mark, you know, I did the 4%. Listen, Richard, you're only getting 4% of the state electricity from wind and solar. What's your response to that? Well, Mark, the real problem is we can't put renewable energy until we fix the grid. And trying to get these different utility companies to deal with the transmission lines, you can't believe how difficult it is. Really? Well, why don't you just own them? Why don't you just take over them over? We're paying for anyway out of the rate base. We reduce the profit margin that you're paying for them. And then you don't have to coordinate with them any longer. You just say, this is what we're doing, and you can coordinate the whole thing. He was speechless. He didn't have a response to that. You know, so he had to sort of switch.
Didn't he come from Goldman Sachs?
I think he did come from Goldman, Sachs. I think you were correct on that. The one thing I do have an argument with some of my other socialist comrades is, you know, they want to nationalize all the fossil fuel companies and say, that's going to solve the problem of climate change. Hey, really? 70% of the fossil fuels on this planet right now are publicly owned, okay? And so if public ownership alone is the solution, why are we having this problem? Because the reality is the vast majority of these systems are publicly owned. You need to have publicly owned with democratic community control at the same time. Having an unresponsive bureaucracy, which just is another way of, you know, crony capitalism, probably a bad word, Howie will correct me later. But it's not, you know, you need to have that democratic control as part of that. Now, I will say, I think this year I was the only person to go and testify in front of the New York State Legislature in support of a proposal actually made by the governor to allow the New York Power Authority to publicly own renewable energy in New York State. And because I was the only person who went up and spoke on it, got defeated. But, you know, because all the private utility companies came out and, you know, argued against it. And one thing I remember, I was at a climate change roundtable by the Assembly, well, maybe about a year and a half ago. And somebody from Con Ed, you know, testified. And he says, because we don't allow utilities in New York State right now to build renewable energy. And he says, well, that's wrong. You should allow us to build renewable energy. Because when I build it, I'm looking for a 9% rate of return. Okay? Now, when those hedge fund owners come in and they want to build those offshore wind projects, they want 18% rate of return. So my 9% is a real bargain, and you should be allowing us to do more. Of course, they didn't allow me to testify that hearing, but, you know, I would have said, well, why don't you do public power? Because they get a 0% rate of return.
Green Party candidate for New York State Comptroller Mark Dunley. And you've been listening to Notes from the Left Forum 2018. The Left Forum was held in June in New York City at John Jay College. This program was from a panel which looked at the Green New Deal and ecological socialism with Jabari Brisport, Howie Hawkins, and Mark Dunley. This program was produced by Ken Gale and Linda Perry for WBAI and Pacifica Radio, with thanks to the Left Forum. And thank you for listening.